I would draw your attention this morning to God's Word, the portion that we read together in John's Gospel, chapter 12, but I'm seeing that passage from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. These are parallel passages that refer to the same event. And last week we were beginning to understand something of this situation that took place in Bethany just before our Lord Jesus was arrested and tried and crucified and then raised again from the dead. This is Holy Week. This is Tuesday evening of Holy Week, and I could be wrong on the dating, but it certainly is Holy Week, and we find that there is a great assembly in Jerusalem, and the people have come from all over the then known world, and they've come largely that they might see Jesus Christ. And they've gathered together on this evening in Bethany, where the Lord Jesus found himself at home. He found himself at home with his friends in Bethany. And he was there as the guest of Simon the leper in his home. And the maitre d' was a lady by the name of Martha. And the disciples of the Lord Jesus were there. And others were there with them, having a feast. And last week we came to that feast in our own minds. And we observed what was taking place in that feast. And there was an incident that took place that we just can't get out of our minds. And we've heard about it for years and years and years. And it's still recorded in God's Word. As a matter of fact, it's there for eternity because it's in God's Word. And the story is of this lady, Mary, who was a sister of Martha. And Mary was the sister of Lazarus. And Lazarus was the one who had recently been raised from the dead by Jesus. And as Jesus, the honored guest, was seated at the table, and the disciples and friends were gathered around the table, and they were feasting, Mary came into the room, and she took a bottle, a beautiful bottle. Oh, we don't know the shape nor the size, but we do know that it contained very expensive and exquisite perfume. And she took that bottle and went over to the Lord Jesus and broke the bottle, broke it. She didn't have an atomizer. She broke the bottle and poured it over Jesus, and it descended to his feet, and she wiped his feet, as John told us in the reading, with her hair. And while this was taking place, the disciples were in some kind of consternation, and they were asking themselves, what's going on? What's happening? How come this would be allowed? And finally, Judas expressed what I guess a few of them were thinking, but he was the initiator, and he said, why didn't she sell that and give the money to the poor? We could have used the money. We have a lot of people that could use that money. There are poor people, and we need to be using money. Why such extravagance? And he said, basically, that it was wasteful. And having said that, and others agreeing with him, the Lord Jesus was sensitive to what they were thinking and what they were saying, and he said to them as a group, directing his attention more primarily to Judas, he said, stop it. And I don't know what the tone of his voice was, but I don't think it was soft. I don't think it was something that he was saying with particular affection. He was saying it in indignation. Stop it. Stop it. And they did. They had to stop it when he commanded them to do so. And the story goes on that we find the conversation comes to the Lord Jesus. And he says to them in explanation, she has done a beautiful thing for me. And last week we learned two things about that incident so far. It's recorded in Mark 14 that he said, she's done a beautiful thing for me. And the two things we learned are, number one, that the criteria for our success in ministry, the gauge of how we are doing, and the only gauge we have that really is valid, is what does Jesus think? What does Jesus think of what we're doing? Others may criticize. They may misjudge and not understand. But in the final analysis, what does Jesus think of what we're doing? And that applies to everything we do. It applies to morning break. It applies to Awana. It applies to everything we do in our home. Some of you are involved in caregiving in a major way, and it must be discouraging and hard. I know something of it because I happen to be an observer of a caregiver. The fact of the matter is there are all kinds of arduous tasks, and when it comes down to the summation of it all, it's not how successful we are in the measurement of other people or the standards of the world around us, but what does Jesus think? And when we look at this day and can look back upon it, what can we come to him and say, Lord Jesus, have you been pleased today? So that's one thing we learned. The second thing we learned was, what is Christian service? What is our Christian service? We think about service and we think of other people, and we do serve other people. And we mentioned last time that serving other people can sometimes be very discouraging and disheartening. We can find ourselves doing it with a pure motivation, doing it with hearts that are full toward people and toward the Lord, and yet find that people are going to rebuke us and misunderstand us and criticize us, as they did Mary of Bethany. She must have been terribly humiliated to think that Judas, one of the disciples, the treasurer of the band, would actually speak for them and say, she has done a wasteful thing. Why didn't she sell that? Must have been a terribly heartbreaking momentary experience, because she had prayed about it, and I'll show you what she prayed about it in a few moments. But the fact of the matter is that her service was as unto the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad for that little statement at the end. She has done a beautiful thing for me. And our service is a heart given over to Jesus Christ. We serve people, yes. But if we can serve him and remember that we are serving him, it's going to take us through the difficult times, through the periods of misunderstanding, through the times when people rebuke us, and from the times when people don't have any words of encouragement, when we think we need words of encouragement. The Lord Jesus is the one who says, you have done a beautiful thing for me. And that's what matters. So our service is unto him. You know, as I look about this building, I am always feeling that we should be thankful for the wonderful facility God has given us. This isn't the largest facility that we've ever been in, but I suggest to you it's a very adequate facility. It's a facility that has all we need, and it's a facility that is kept clean. And I think sometimes Eric and Jim should go around with little things on their buckets of when they're washing the floors and doing things. I work for a Jewish carpenter. I really think that we should recognize in our service, wherever it is, whether we be school teachers or whether we're at home, whether we're caregiving, we should remember, I work for a Jewish carpenter. And if you have any trouble, if you have any problems, please go and ask my boss and tell my boss. Don't bother telling me. I work for a Jewish carpenter, the Lord Jesus. And when we work for him, we find that there is commendation. And it's not just now, but it's eternal commendation, and we're going to be rejoicing in the future about what we do. But you know, there's something in this passage that we've been studying that helps us to understand just how we can be pleasing to him, how we can hear that commendation. And Mary gives us the example of service. And the Lord Jesus explains it further down in verse 8 of Mark 14. He says there in verse 8, She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for the burial. What? What did he say? Number one, she did what she could. And the first principle of our pleasing the Lord and of our serving him effectively is do what you can. Do what you can. And you say, well, I can't do anything. But that's not true. You're a Christian. The Lord gives you gifts. And the scriptures tell us about the giving of gifts. And it's a very solemn thing. Over in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus tells the story. Matthew 23, he tells this. No, I guess it's 25. He tells us the story about the three men who were given gifts. They were given talents of money. That's about $1,000. One man was given five talents. And he went out and doubled it. So when the Lord came back, he had 10 talents. And the commendation was, you've been a worthwhile servant. Well done. Well done. Another 5 talents for you. You now have 10. The fellow with 2 did the same thing. He doubled it. He came back and told his Lord he had 2. And the other fellow came and said, I'm sorry, but I knew you were a hard taskmaster, and I felt that it would be better for me to bury what I have. And if I bury what I have, I'll give it to you. And the Lord rebuked him. And the rebuke was very, very strong. Jesus said, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest that you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw that worthless servant outside. Listen, I can hardly read the rest of it. Throw that servant outside. Let him be gone. I mean, God really looks upon what he's given us, and he's given us as Christians talents, spiritual gifts. And I'm not here to rebuke you. I'm here to say to you that we need to do what we can with the gifts God has given to us. And we can't hide behind the statement, I don't have any gifts. I have known people who have said that and have been encouraged to write letters to missionaries or to pray for missionaries, to support missionaries, to write not only write letters, but to maybe provide hospitality for someone in need or provide my car when I need it. You know, I observe what's happening in our church, and I haven't a greater reason to be commending you than I do this morning. I could go across this congregation and say, what a wonderful service you're rendering to the Lord. I could begin over at the organ with Dory and all she's doing as unto the Lord. She's using the talents God's given to her. Oh, maybe she has more, but she has a lot. But the fact of the matter is, we go around the congregation. I observed this week, and Rosemary Underwood, I was in Awana at the beginning, and Rosemary as well, nor is Harvey. Rosemary's at Awana on Wednesday night. Oh, thank God. Willing to extend herself that much. Then I hear about Wanda. Wanda doesn't mind mentioning her name. She takes her car and she drives Joyce Double to Western Hospital. And she stays there all day. And you say, well, she's doing that is unto the Lord. And people drive their cars and they do these things. And this is the way the body functions. And we say, Lord, we're doing it for you. We're doing it for people, yes. But we're doing it for you. Do what you can. And Satan would intimidate us into thinking, listen, you'd better sit on that single talent you have or say you haven't got one. And if you don't use it, you lose it. And I speak to the Lord all the time. Lord, you've been generous to me. You've been more generous than I can begin to understand. You've crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercy. What will you have me to do? You've given me extended days. Here I'm an old man, and I'm still able to have people that will come and hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that is mine. And it's the service to the King. I'm serving the Master. And he is my carpenter friend. And then, you know, not only did she do what she could, but in regard to Mary, there's another thing that I see that really helps us. And that is that she didn't just take this bottle with an atomizer and put a little spray on the Lord Jesus. She took it and she broke it. And that was symbolic. She didn't know what she was doing. She didn't understand the significance of what she was doing. When they prepared a body for burial, they washed it. And then they took a bottle of this sweet perfume and they broke the bottle. They poured it on the body as an embalming fluid somehow, in a primitive way, but it was something that they did even spiritually as a consequence of what they'd been told to do in the scripture. And they broke that bottle and they left the remains of the bottle with the dead body. And here is Mary. She takes the bottle, the whole thing. And it's expensive. It's never been cheap, but it's expensive in her day to take this exquisite perfume and break it. And even, I don't know the glass was, but it was all around the Lord Jesus. And the perfume was all over his body. And the fragrance filled the house. And even when his body was bleeding and the terrible stench from dead blood, the terrible stench from these men and all of this crowd around was somehow overcome by the sweetness of the fragrance of the perfume that Mary anointed his body with. She did everything that she could. And I don't think any of us are really that extended. I know that I haven't been that extended, that I can say that I've done everything that I could. The Lord gives us a new day and new strength, and I'm thankful that he does, so that we can give to him what we have. Everything I have is his. And I'm only preaching to myself. Father, thank you for your generosity to me in giving me a gift. And it's your gift. I have no credit. It's not very well used, but I give it to you. I give it all to you because it belongs to you. I just return it to you as David or as God said to Moses, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses said, I have a rod. A rod. He took a rod. He said, I've got a rod in my hand. And he said, put the rod down. So he put the rod down. Then he told him to take the rod and turn to a serpent. Then he told, take the rod. And God used that rod when it was given back to him. He used it in an amazing way to divide the waters of the Red Sea, to defeat the Amalekites, to bring water from the rock. All of those things were done with a rod, with a gift that God had given to Moses. And when Moses gave it back to God, it became so much more useful. Now you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to give all that I have. We take a day at a time and we begin the day with the Lord and say, Lord, this is your day. My heart is Christ's home. And every part of my home, of his home, belongs to him. And I want him to use me for that purpose. That's something that is absolutely strange and foreign to the world around us. They don't understand. But as Christians, we can understand that the Lord Jesus has entered our hearts and he is our master. And the final thing we see about Mary was that she did it at the right time. If she had waited, it would have been too late. If she had waited for the next day, it would have been too late. This was the last opportunity for the Lord Jesus to be in Bethany. This was the occasion. This was the time. And there couldn't have been a better time for her to have done this than this very moment when she came into the Lord's presence. And even though she could have been intimidated for doing what she did, she said, no, this is the time. And this is why I believe that God answered her prayer. You see, Martha was cooking. She knew what to do. That was her gift. And others were doing other things at this feast. But Mary didn't have those gifts and didn't have that ability. And so she said, Lord, what can I do? And the Lord said to her, listen, remember that jar of perfume that you have? That jar that you've been keeping? That jar that is expensive and exquisite? Go and get it. Go and get it. And I want you to break it over the head of the Lord Jesus. And she came in obedience and did this. It wasn't foolish impetuosity. She was doing what the Lord Jesus wanted her to do. And she broke that bottle and it was poured over him. And she did this in obedience to the Lord Jesus. And it was all poured over him. And she did it at that moment. If she had waited a day, it would have been too late. And if it had been too late, the body of the Lord Jesus would not have been prepared for the burial. But we read over in chapter 16 of this same chapter, Gospel of Mark. In chapter 16, in verses 1 and 2, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And they saw as well that the body was not there. The body had already been prepared for the burial. Mary had done this. It was more than ever she realized. And we can't begin to understand what we're doing when we're teaching children and teaching adults in Sunday school. We can't begin to understand what the potential is with the people with whom we're dealing. And in our local church, to think of the potential we have in this growing edge of one of the largest cities in North America. Here we are, serving the Lord Jesus. Serving the Lord Jesus. And as we serve him, we are pleasing him, and we're doing more and greater things than ever we thought possible, but it's important that we do it now. We could miss the opportunity. I'm not a great Shakespearean scholar, but Marcus Brutus said in Julius Caesar in Act 4, Scene 3, and I quote, under your pardon, you must note beside that we have tried the utmost of our friends. Our legions are brimful. Our cause is ripe. The enemy increaseth every day. We at the height are ready to decline. There is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. God says, Shakespeare spoke well, but God said, this is the moment. This is the day of salvation. This is the opportunity. And you know, it's incumbent upon us to realize that we have only one life, and that soon passed, and only what is done for Christ will last. Mary, Thank God for her. Thank God for the Spirit of God who recorded her testimony, her story for us, of that last week of the Lord Jesus, when she took that perfume and poured it over the Lord Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And she went away with the same fragrance that he knew. And she was identified as a Christian, and she wasn't ashamed.